Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am ready.
Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. I just want to start off. Everybody over here, everybody out there, I just want to say happy Valentine's Day. Or as flowers call it, the purge. Now, for those of you out there who got sweets from your sweetheart this year, good news, because the latest research says that consuming cocoa does provide health benefits thanks to something called flavanols, but most chocolate bars don't contain enough of it. That's true. Some of the most popular chocolate bars don't have enough. For instance, the main ingredients in the Snickers bar are peanuts, caramel, and vein. And it's a little upsetting. It's a little upsetting. A little disturbing. Some unlikely candidates are trying to join chocolate as potential Valentine's gifts. The agricultural group Legumes from Europe is encouraging romantics everywhere to surprise your special someone and amaze them with a recipe using canned legumes. Of course. It's natural, just like my favorite Valentine's poem. Lentils are red, chickpeas are beige. I bought you beans, you asked for a divorce. I like Legumes from Europe. That's a hell of a name. They were part of the techno wave from Europe in the early 80s, wasn't it? It was Flock of Seagulls and Legumes from Europe. Valentine's Day spending for gifts is up this year, according to the National Retail Federation. The average person will spend $192.80. And if you are an average person who wants an average Valentine's Day by spending the average amount of money, we did a little research, and this is true. Here's something you can buy for your special someone for exactly $192.80. It's from the good people at PullsDirect.com. The M-Tech Durango Sandcast Bronze Passage Door Lever Set with the CF mechanism, okay? Remember, everybody, money can't buy you love, but it can buy you knob. I better get some free door handles, is all I know. There's big news out there about former UN ambassador and woman enjoying intestinal regularity since she started eating delicious Activia, Nikki Haley, because this morning, Nikki Haley announced that she is running for president. As she said in her campaign announcement tweet, get excited. A grateful pass. Of course, any campaign veteran will tell you there is no better time to drop the biggest political news of your life than on Valentine's Day at 6:48 a.m. Yeah. Day everyone's thinking about something else at a time when no one is awake. Only way this could make a smaller splash is if Haley had whispered it into a bowl of soup.
Psst. Hey, Mushroom Barley, you want to hear a secret? I'm never gonna be president. Shh, don't tell anybody. Don't.
Haley's first campaign video starts with these words.
The railroad tracks divided the town by race. I was the proud daughter of Indian immigrants. Not black, not white. I was different.
I was different for many reasons. For instance, in my family, we kept the family photographs on the sidewalk. It made them very hard to dust. She went on to toss out some classic culture war red meat.
Some look at our past as evidence that America's founding principles are bad. Some think our ideas are not just wrong, but racist.
Yeah, she knows America's not racist. She learned that as a little girl in her hometown that was split by a railroad track right down the middle to keep the white people on one side and the black people on the other. You know, not racist. She finished her video with a warning to her opponents.
You should know this about me. I don't put up with bullies.
That's right. She doesn't put up with bullies like the ex-president. She just, and this is true, calls bullies to get their opinion on whether she can run for president. Because nothing says strength like picking your bully's brain before doing anything. Hello, Trevor. I'm just getting dressed for school. What would be easier for you to yank up my butt crack, boxers or briefs? Which, like, I'll do either, or I could...
I could go commando.
But the former president isn't the only one that Haley called for advice. You see, Nikki Haley and I are both from South Carolina. She used to be the governor down there, and we go way back, in fact. And I don't talk about this, because I know if I do, it's going to make news. We are best friends. And a couple weeks back, Nikki called me up and said, "Hi, person I admire most in the world, Stephen Colbert. Is it okay with you if I run for president?" Well, I almost spit out my paper straw. And I said, "You are perfect for it, girlfriend. I don't know anyone more woke than you." And she said, "Okay, but first I have to cook my favorite meal on my electric stove, Impossible Burgers and lesbian M&Ms. Best of luck to you, Nikki. I'm happy just to help. People, yeah, she's going to go all the way. She's going all the way. Nikki Haley's not the only candidate that former President Bully is worried about. He's also planning for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, seen here zipping his chest hair into his fleece. Sure. Sure. The governor in Florida has really high poll numbers, which spooks the former president, who apparently now privately refers to DeSantis as Meatball Ron. Ooh, I do not like how much I love that. It's so dumb and accurate. You know what else is really great and bad about it? How easy it is to sing to the tune of Uptown Girl. Let's go. Meatball Ron, he's a walking, talking beef baton. And he tells you that you can't say gay, and that COVID will just go away. That's not okay. Meatball Ron.
They jumped in.
It's catchy.
It's a hit.
We got a hit, baby.
They got a big. They got a big.
Hit. Now, as eagle-eyed reporters have managed to discern from that, the nickname is an apparent dig at DeSantis's appearance. Really? Let's see for ourselves. Jim. Jim, no, not two pictures of Ron DeSantis. What? Oh, the one with the, one of those was a meatball. Okay. Which one was the meatball? Still, I'm not sure the ex-president is the one to be tossing around meat insults, considering he's a real veal parmesan. Thank you. Thank you. Apparently, the ex-president is also testing out a nickname based on DeSantis' response to COVID. Shut down, Ron. No, you dummy. Quit while you're ahead. You're never going to do better than the crystallized genius that is Meatball Ron. You didn't see Orson Welles trying to top Citizen Kane with Citizen Kane 2, Kane Sane and the Mem Kane? Wow. Even stupider more. And I might have misread that just now. We'll never know. We'll never know whether I misread that. Maybe that's what I was supposed to say. even stupider more. He's now denying that he even came up with Meatball Ron, posting on Truth Social that all of the fake news is reporting that I spend large amounts of my time coming up with a good nickname for Ron DeSanctimonious. They are all 100% wrong. Okay, that actually makes sense, kind of. The ex-president would never be able to come up with something as catchy and as memorable as Meatball Ron. Marinara is his big turn-on. Very scared of CRT. Loves to roll around in spaghetti with extra cheese. Meatball Ron. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Patrick Stewart.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Late Show, everybody. My first guest this evening has played a professor, a starship captain, and, of course, the poop emoji. He now stars in the third and final season of Star Trek Picard. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Patrick Stewart. You got a lot of friends out there tonight, Patrick.
A lot of friends, yeah.
Yes.
Happy, what is it? Valentine's Day! Yes.
Is it Valentine's Day a big thing in the UK?
Oh, huge. And it was always huge for me every year until today. About 2 hours ago, there was an event in our hotel room where my wife and I are staying at the moment.
This is CBS. There's certain events you can't describe.
That's not what I was led to believe.
All right. Yes,
anything
sir.
Goes.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Well, I left the hotel this morning while she was still asleep, and I went off to do all kinds of things. And then when I came back, she was gone. I'd left a beautiful card for her so that she would see it when she woke up. And that when I came home, there on the table was this gorgeous fashionista bag, okay? And there was inside it a beautifully wrapped gift. I thought, oh, my Lord, she's left a present for me and I don't have a present. And, I'll open it up now. And I opened it up and it was a beautiful designer sweater. I thought, great. Oh, that's so perfect. I love that. And then I looked at it and thought, maybe I should put it on, you know, so that she can see me wearing it.
Yeah, what seeing how much you love thought. It, exactly.
So I did. And it was way too small. Really. Really too tight. I thought, oh, darn, I'm going to thank her, but I'm going to have to say, but you're going to have to exchange it. Anyway, she came home and I said, darling, I love your gift. It's beautiful. And she said, what gift? And I said, the sweater. She said, that wasn't for you. That's for me.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
Wait a second. So, Patrick.
What?
Did she buy the sweater for herself?
Yes.
You know what? Good for her. You know what?
Why?
Good for her?
Yeah.
Sisters doing it for themselves is what that is.
I guess.
Taking care of business, we call that. Well, so are you in trouble? Are you in trouble?
I don't think so. No, I think.
She might forgive you?
Yeah, I think she has forgiven me. Right. She is very forgiving. In nature.
Oh, that's but very nice.
Then she is half my age almost, and so that's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. Wow. So she's like 20. The
Stephen.
Reason I know I'm a charmer. Now, here's
you,
the thing.
You are.
So, it really is pretty, it's amazing. You're 82 years old, and yet, sir. I feel like the decrepit one between the two of us. When they knight you, does the queen anoint you with some oil that keeps you young? What is it that you do to stay so vital?
It's very interesting you should say that, because I felt that something happened in that moment. You know, you're kneeling in front of Her Majesty, may she rest in peace, and the sword touches you on one shoulder and the other shoulder. It's a magical moment, and I felt something must be communicated to me. She is Her Majesty the Queen. And or else maybe when we shake hands, you know, she's got a little oil or something on.
Sure.
And that immediately took 30 years off my age.
Wow.
Do you think it's possible, and do you think that King Charles has the same skill?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. If he knighted me, we'd find out.
Would you like that?
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to say no if he's just tossing them out, but I think they should go to somebody who's done something for the kingdom before me, because I'm not a huge fan of the royalty. I'm just not a huge
what?
Fan.
What? What are you saying?
I just think they're basically gangsters in nice clothes.
The Colbert Show has done enough for the kingdom. Believe
really?
Me. Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of kings, I want to talk about King Oberon here for a moment, because this is a man who needs a little anointment right here. This is you playing Oberon in Midsummer Night's Dream, and I'm just curious whether you can still pull off this outfit. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Wait. Who's out? Was this your idea or the costume designer's idea?
We had no costume designer. That's why I'm naked. By the way, this was the Royal Shakespeare Company. You see, the royals come up again.
Oh, wow.
They have had that charm over my life.
So even if you show up in something super sexy like this, it still seems classy because it's the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Because I'm speaking blank verse.
Do you still have... Could you still pull that off, do you think?
Yes.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Hugh Jackman, speaking of guys who look good in a loincloth, Hugh Jackman was recently here. One time I was interviewing with him, he said that you gave him a little life advice about how to, like, start your day. Oh. And do you remember this advice you gave him? Because it sounded like a very peaceful way to live your life.
I do. We were talking about waking up in the morning, and, you know, sometimes it's very, very early, 4:30, 5:00.
And to get to a set or something like that.
Yeah, when you're working. And I said, look, I have been doing something for years and years which helps me. I don't know, maybe it would help you, but I read in the morning. I make myself a cup of tea and I get a cookie or something, and I get a book. Not a script, not a computer.
Novel or something.
Yeah, a novel, you know, not a newspaper. Oh, please, not a newspaper, but a book. And you lose yourself in that book for 30 minutes. And that is the way to set up a day. I really recommend it. It frees your head up.
I'll give it a try. Yeah. I'll give it a try.
Well, if you're going to try that, I can recommend a book you might want to start with.
Oh, really? I hear good things about books. Which one?
Actually, you couldn't use it yet because it hasn't yet been published.
Oh, your book. Oh, that's right. You're writing a memoir.
Memoir. Yes.
Can you tease us with some memory from your memoir? Like, what might show up in the book? What's an early impression of, say, a life in the theater for you?
A life in the theater.
Any advice you got?
Yes. It made me into the person that I was not when I grew up. Growing up, I was a very unhappy and frustrated person because my life at home wasn't good. But the theater changed all that because I was no longer Patrick Stewart. I was King Oberon.
Yeah.
You know.
This guy's got a lot to be happy about. Exactly. Now, okay, but wait a second. Okay. Can you tell me about your first experience of, like, being in the theater? Because, well, I no longer, you know, do live theater. That's how I started out. And I love the feeling of being in theater, even if it's empty.
Well, the difference between being on a film set and being in a live auditorium like now is that, and most audiences don't actually know this, but their presence is a big element. It's a big part of the event.
Sure.
And their contribution is critical, and it's never quite the same. So live theater, excuse me, gives you energy and something to play with, which is new and novel. Whereas, you know, you get, okay, cut, moving on.
Not to bang a drum here, but do you have a first memory of being in the theater, or like an early memory of like of a play you saw that meant a lot to you when you were young man?
There weren't, because it was the movies that I went to. We had no TV, no telephone, no car in our family. We were hard up. Mm-hmm. And but I had the cinema, and I would save my pocket money to go at least once, if possible, twice a week. And I loved the movies. They were my escape. And, of course, a lot of them were in Hollywood, which is now where I live. And
boy got what he wanted.
The little boy got more than what he wanted, actually, yeah, because there have been... There have been incidents in my life that were so magical, and usually they're to do with meeting someone whom, as a child, I had adored and worshipped. I mean, the best example for me is Kirk Douglas.
When did you meet Kirk Douglas?
Well, I was doing Christmas Carol, my one-man show, and I used to end the play sweating, so I always took a shower. And the shower in the theater we were in London was down in the basement, as always, of course. And I was in there having a shower, and my assistant manager came in and said, Patrick, come on, hurry up, you've got a visitor. And I said, oh, well, you know, I'm showering. No, it's Kirk Douglas in my dressing room. Oh, my gosh. So I went up there, and there was Kirk, and his family were with him. And as I came in, he started to get out of the chair. He was elderly, and he had had a throat problem. It might have been cancer that he had. And I went to say, no, don't stand up, Mr. Douglas, please. And he came over and he put his arms around me and he said, you are my inspiration. He was a beautiful, delightful man, and he lived to be 103.
Wow. As well you should. As well you should. We have to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back with more Patrick Stewart, everybody. Stick around. Here with the star of Star Trek Picard, Patrick Stewart. We are now looking at season 3 of Star Trek Picard.
That's why I'm here.
Exactly. That's right. Okay. You were reluctant to take this part back on, to do the show originally. We're looking at season 3. What are we going to learn about Picard? Or what are we going to learn about the story in this season?
Here's the critical thing that they said to me that convinced me that it was the right thing to do, because you're right, I was reluctant. They said, look, you know, 25, 30 years have passed, maybe, well, 25 years since you last wore a Starfleet uniform, and so much has happened in your life. It's had many changes, some of them good, some of them not so good. It's been a really important time. You're not the same person that you were 25 years ago. Neither is Jean-Luc Picard. Nobody had even hinted at something like that. Mm. And they said, how do we know what has happened to him in those 25 years? We know he became an admiral and he's retired now, but what else is going on in his life? And that was what hooked me, because I think one of the quality things about Picard is that not just myself, but I've got to be very careful what I say now. The other actors in the series have all had the same thing said to them. So we are exploring the impact that years of living can have on people. So we're different.
Well, one of the other actors is Jonathan Frakes, okay, who is in this clip, I believe, that we're about to show.
Oh. What? Really?
Yes. I believe that you've just received a message that you are asking his help in deciphering.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm alone. Someone is in trouble. I want to help them, and he's the man I think of.
Jim.
Evelyn's message references these coordinates. And to trust no one with them. Plus the word Halberd.
What's out there?
Nothing at all, as far as I can see. But this word, Halberd, I've no idea what it means.
Of course not. It was a computer virus on the Enterprise when you were incapacitated.
Incapacitated? The cutest. The Borg, of course.
They scrambled our navigational system and then arbitrarily added 3 to every digit.
I knew that I called you for a reason.
Patrick, thank you so much for being here. It's always such a pleasure. The final season of Star Trek Picard premieres this Thursday on Paramount Plus. It's Patrick Stewart, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.